Lift this up. Thank you for teaching me all that you have through this message. It has touched my heart. It has changed me, and I pray that you also would allow me to speak your words through this, and that others might just get a little tiny glimpse of what I have learned as well. So thank you for your word, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, if you open up a church directory, I know you don't have them in your hands, but if you do open up a church directory, you will find, as a result of the alphabeticness of that directory, that Ron Davis and I are next to each other in that we are neighbors. It has always been so. It always has been, always will be. And I, as Pastor Jason said, the new mailbox is out. I think Debbie probably had something to do with that. There's a box in between me and Ron, but there's no name on it, and there won't be. We're not going to get any Dawsons or Deasons or anything like that, right? So you never know. Thank you, Catherine. Frank Davis and Brian DeLorge come close to intervening, but our culture is hopelessly brainwashed into believing that there is an unbreakable order to the ABCs. Ron and I joke about the idea of us having a seat reserved next to each other in heaven, presuming that the alphabeticness of everlasting life is the same as our ABCs and of our culture, which is brainwashed into believing that, we will even be then neighbors. So in past weeks, we have been studying the idea of our mission statement, which is embodied in our new logo. We have heard messages on loving God, how we treasure His word, and how we worship, thank, praise, and love God. We have heard messages on loving one another. That is how we love our fellow Christians and what that love means. Today we will be looking at love our neighbor, the third part of our logo, loving those who are not necessarily part of our church body. How are we to respond to the community, the world around us? How are we to love them? In this extraordinarily historical culture of the internet and wireless technology and artificial intelligence and the virus and all the social unrest, God has, at His pleasure, decided to put us. And in that culture, we are commanded to love one another. I will begin and end by summarizing my entire message in the following. What our neighbors need, what the world needs in every circumstance is Jesus Christ. And it is the church's obligation to proclaim that name in all circumstances. In all circumstances, we are to love one another. In all circumstances, we are to testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This morning, if you'd like to follow along in 1 John, we will look at 1 John 4, 7 through 14. Starting at verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. May God bless that reading of His Word. Actually, I have often found myself sequenced next to Davis's in my life. I spent my high school years between Faye Davis and Lenny Farben. Lenny was Jewish, but I didn't even really know what that meant. I did not know anything about religion until I was 30 when I became a Christian. What I did know was that I could not speak anything about religion at all in Lenny's presence. But one time, I did speak something that I had just learned. To my surprise, not knowing much of anything, I learned that Jesus was Jewish, and I spoke that. And Lenny turned around and hit me. I never did find out why Lenny was so sensitive about religious things, but it was only 20 years after World War II, and I suspect it had something to do with the Holocaust, but I never did find out. This was my first awareness of prejudice. Lenny was prejudiced because of prejudice. Prejudiced because of prejudice. My next significant awareness of prejudice came as my close friend Jerome Mahone and I were walking into a Big Boy restaurant. This is in Ohio. Besides being about 4% Jewish, my high school was also 50% black, and because that was my culture, I actually never knew that racial prejudice existed. As we walked up to the Big Boy, I saw him looking in the windows. And as we approached the door, he backed off and said he couldn't go in there. I said, "Jerome, why not?" "Because everybody's white in there." "Jerome, what difference does that make?" And I really didn't get it, but we didn't go in. Then that summer, at age 16, these were my putt-putt years, for those of you who know me, I was traveling by myself in South Carolina. That was 1965, only a few months after Martin Luther King's Selma, Alabama march. I had to go to the bathroom, and there in Greenville, South Carolina, I stood facing two entrances. One marked white, the other marked colored. For the very first time, it hit me. I realized that prejudice really did exist. A few years later, I saw Jerome. He was hitchhiking, and I stopped to pick him up. He almost did not get in my car. He was angry, tense, almost to the point of violence, because I was white. I could not believe that my friend Jerome was so prejudiced because of prejudice. Prejudice because of prejudice. I wish that I knew Christ back then. Christ is what the situations with Lenny and Jerome both needed. If only I could have looked through the lens of loving one another, perhaps there would have been better responses. In our text, and it's interesting that John was writing in Greek. This was a Roman Empire country. Jerusalem was Roman Empire, and he wrote in Greek. He didn't write in the language of Virgil and Cicero and Homer and Julius Caesar. Can anybody finish the sentence, "Gallia est omnes"? No? Really? No? Yes. What is it? Yeah, the Gallic Wars. Yeah, in Latin, the language of Rome. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, for the most part, but yet John wrote in Greek because it's an exact language. It's such an exact language. In our text, these words, "Beloved, let us love one another," is five words. In Greek, it's only two words. And those two words are deeper than we can possibly express in English. Beloved, let us love one another. And I'm going to teach you those two words. It's agapomen allelos. Agapomen allelos. I want you to repeat it with me three times. Agapomen allelos. Agapomen allelos. Agapomen allelos. Agapomen comes from agape, which is translated as love. And agapomen has the force of a command. Let us love. Let love be a characteristic. Let it be characteristic. Let it be the lens through which you look. Agapomen, let us love. And allelos, translated as one another, has the sense of an invisible thing like an invisible force that exists among us. And that force is love. Agapomen allelos. It means that among us, there should be this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic of us. Agapomen allelos. It means that among us, there should be this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic of us. Prejudging neighbors because they think differently, because they disagree with us, or because they are different. Such prejudgment is contrary to agapomen allelos. In this contentious world, it is so easy to get caught up in the prejudice and hatred of the world. I fight it myself. The hatred of a sin so easily turns to the hatred of the sinner. We live in a culture that fosters hatred. There are seeds below the surface, a simmering discontent and anger directed not just at words or behavior, but directed at our neighbor. So while we are surrounded by the hatred of the world around us, what should our response be? Let's go on in 1 John. Finishing verse 7, love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Here is the message the world needs. We are to love one another, which is the very evidence that we know God. And that love became real in us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. I was 30 years old before I knew why he sent his Son into the world. At age 30, I learned the truth of verse 10, that in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Why did he send his Son? I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that because of my sin, I deserve the wrath of God. But he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to pay the penalty for us. At age 30, I realized why Christ died on the cross. He was paying the penalty for my sins. But God, why me? I'm an undeserving sinner. I have nothing to offer to the maker and master and sustainer of this universe. And Lord, do I really have to love those with whom I disagree so strongly? It just is not natural for me to love them. In fact, I lean more toward hatred than love. I want to look at Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I can certainly imagine situations where I would risk my life for a good person. In certain circumstances, I would certainly risk my life for Ron or Glenda. There likely could have been circumstances in which I would have taken risk to save my friends Lenny or Jerome. But what about so-and-so? I want you all to fill in the blank who so-and-so is. You can fill it in with anybody. Fill it in with some national figure, perhaps, that you might be tempted to have bad thoughts about. What about so-and-so? Would I risk my life for her or him? Why should I do that? Christ did. For a good person, one would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were in the very act of sinning, while we were the bad guy, while I was the so-and-so, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were in the very act of sinning, he died for us. The applications of this message are in the last four verses of this passage. The why, the when, the how, and the who. Here's the first application of my message, the why. Why ought we to love one another? If you look at 1 John 4:11, if God loved us in that way, we also ought to love one another. If God loved us in that way, we also ought to love one another. If God loved us to the point of death on the cross, while we were in the very act of sinning, in all circumstances we are to love one another. In all circumstances we are to demonstrate love for our neighbor. In all circumstances we are to demonstrate love even for so-and-so. Application number one, the why we love one another. Because God loved us in that way, to the point of death on the cross. And because of that, in all circumstances, we are to demonstrate love even for so-and-so. It says so right there in 1 John 4:11. That's the why. Application number two is the when. 1 John 4:12 tells us that when we love one another, his love is perfected in us. Listen to that verse. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By the way, the phrase here, if we love one another, is the exact same phrase, agapomen allelos, as in verse 7. Among us, there should be this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic of us. When we demonstrate that, his love is perfected in us. Among us, there should be this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic of us. When we demonstrate that, his love is perfected in us. Application number two is the when. When we love one another, his love is perfected in us. But how do we love? That's application number three. How are we to love? We are to love through the lens of Jesus Christ. I want to look at the last two verses, 1 John 4:13 and 14. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. When Lenny Farben turned around and hit me for mentioning Christ, or when Jerome Mahone was angry with me for being white, I did not know what to say, but now I do. Now I know in all circumstances we are to love one another. In all circumstances we are to testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I could have said to both of them, you know, we're both sinners here. I know that. We are all sinners. We're both sinners. And we deserve to pay a punishment for that. We deserve the wrath of God because of our sins. But God loved us. So he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were in the very act of sinning, in fact, while we sin right now, while we're in the very act of sinning, Christ died for us. And all we have to do is acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to have eternal life. That's the message I could have given if I had known. There have been countless times, even as a Christian, when I have been confronted with an angry response, and I've had a choice what to say. I can allow anger, hate, and sin to dwell in me, or I can take the opportunity to speak in Christ. I can react in the flesh, or I can react by looking through the lens of loving one another, loving our neighbor in Christ. Unfortunately, I've not always chosen that lens. There have been times when I've avoided that lens through fleshly anger or shame. Better for me would I not be ashamed to speak the truth. Jesus says in Mark 8:38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Application number 3, how should we love one another? What our neighbors need, what the world needs in every circumstance is Jesus Christ. And it is the church's obligation to proclaim that name in all circumstances. In all circumstances, we are to love one another. In all circumstances, we are to testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Application number 4 is the who. The first 3 applications might have seemed to focus just on me or you as individuals. Why I love, when I love, how I love. So this application is the who. Not who I am supposed to love, but who is the one another, who is the neighbor, who is the allelos. In Greek, this word allelos is plural. One another, plural. In fact, the phrase agapomen allelos is entirely plural. Let us love one another. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together are one God. As there is a mysterious essence of unity in the Trinity, there is a mysterious essence in unity in that word allelos, one another. In this I say, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Imagine if the church, in a unified voice, spoke to this adulterous and sinful generation with true words of freedom, true words of love, true words of life everlasting. Who is the one another? Who is the allelos? It is the church, and it is our neighbor, and it is the world around us. Certainly, this begins with me and you, and we are the church. I repeat what I said at the beginning of this message. What our neighbors need, what the world needs in every circumstance is Jesus Christ. And it is the church's obligation to proclaim that name in all circumstances. In all circumstances, we are to love one another. In all circumstances, we are to testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What better time than today? With the virus, all of the social unrest, the hatred and division, what better time than today for the church to be a unified voice? Imagine if the church, in a unified voice, spoke to this adulterous and sinful generation with the true words of freedom, true words of love, true words of life everlasting. Among us, there should be this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic in us. The world should see that in the church. The world should see that there is this invisible force of love that is a defining characteristic of the church. Agapomen allelos. Beloved, let us love one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.